Well, hey there, by the sound of the music and the sound of the tone. It's another one of those radio gems with Fish and Frank and Radio Fishing. And today we've got some guests here, and we've got Captain Rhett Morris and longtime good buddy, great fisherman, charter boat captain extreme from out of the Burnt Store area. And who's your guest with you today, Captain Rhett?
We've got Captain Ryan McGee.
Oh, and the crowd just loving it, you know. Ryan McGee and Captain Rhett here today. I got to tell you, the audience is going crazy. All right, shut up, audience. Go away. Okay. Go away, audience. All right. Oh, yeah, I love my audience. They listen so well. You know, this studio audience, it's amazing to get, you know, 200 people in this room. It's only, you know, 10 by 10. But anyway, so you guys been on the water lately?
I have.
Yeah.
It's been a little slow just due to the weather and all that kind of good stuff, but...
There's always a few fish to be caught. It's not what we would like it to be, but if you can catch any fish in 30-mile-an-hour winds and 40-degree temperature, hats off to you, buddy.
Yeah.
I got to tell you.
It gets a little tough this time of year. You just got to stick with places where you can get out of the wind. I know I did a trip as this cold weather got here, the last front, and it was standing air temperature of, you know, 58, 60 degrees with a pretty stiff breeze, and it was a little uncomfortable in the direct wind, but when we got up in the creeks and stuff, we did good, good considering the weather, by the way, which was a handful of mangrove snapper, quite a few small black drums, 6 to 8 pound black drum.
But that's 6 to 8 pound black drum. I'll take that on a good day or a bad day.
That was
great
fun.
Yeah. You know, I know you guys are spoiled. You want all these special fish, but, you know, for me, that sounds like a riot.
Oh, they fought those new, those rods, the kids' rods that you handed me the other day. We were fishing with one of those, and that's because it was small, confined quarters, and it was much easier to cast. Man, those fish were just bending that thing over. Guys having drag ripping off the reel, they loved it.
Yeah, I got to tell you, when I did those rods, I actually came up with the idea for kids like 5 to 10 years old. And I thought, because they give you a tremendous amount of power for the size of the rod.
Yeah.
But it's worked out that whenever you're in the creeks and you're in real close quarters, it's easier to work with. It's, you know, and any kind of close quarters fishing situation, and even little topwater lures. I mean, I'm selling the heck out of them. I thought I'd sell a lot of them to the kids. I'm selling many more to adults to use for themselves than I am to the kids. But it's still a great kids' rod.
Oh, they're excellent, man. I'm loving them.
Well, we got 40-degree weather today. Now, that's today. Tomorrow, 80 degrees again.
Okay. It's unbelievable.
We're sitting here, and I know we've got all this crappy weather. We got the winds, but the wind's going to switch. The weather's going to switch. Everything's going to go on. Tomorrow's going to be that iffy day, 50-50, right?
Exactly. The weather's going to start to warm up dramatically. And sometimes I find that when the fish have gotten used to a constant, and our constant lately has been cold water, that the first day that it really starts to climb in temperature, the fish actually don't feed well on the first day. It's when they hit that late afternoon of that day or the beginning of the next day that they've gotten used to the incline in the temperature and their bodies are back to normal.
I'm actually calling for this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for a few reasons, because I know this cool temperature probably killed off a little bit of bait fish, going to have a little bit of fish scattered on the bottom, stuck in the grass, a lot of little dead bait and stuff. And that's going to bring fish in.
Mm-hmm.
And then this warmer temperature, lots of sunshine. We got a great weekend to look forward to. I'm calling this weekend to be one of the best fishing weekends of the year, you know, for this winter season, because everything has been kind of crappy and lots of fronts and cold and everything else. Now we're going to be back in 80 degree, lots of sunshine, and Florida runs on sunshine.
Absolutely.
So I wouldn't get out there early. My guess is probably everything is going to start between 9 and 10 o'clock, getting good late in the afternoon.
That's right.
Think?
Yeah, I'm totally agreeing with you on that, Frank. There's no need to get out there at the crack of dawn because it is still warming up from the big chill. And once the fish's bodies start to warm up in the sunshine, their metabolism is going to start picking up, and then the appetite comes with that.
I don't think they're any different than me, except I'm going to be, if I got to get up first thing in the morning, I'm going to the smokehouse. You know, I'm getting a couple eggs, some biscuits and gravy and stuff like that.
Yeah, we were just there already today.
Yeah, that's you know, you can't really, you're not actually a native of this area until you've had breakfast at Smokehouse.
That's exactly right.
I mean, when my daughter was in school, you can't be one of the, she went to Punta Gorda, you can't be one of the cool kids unless you know what the Smokehouse is, what the ketchup bottle's about. If you don't know the ketchup bottle at the Smokehouse, you're just slightly lacking in your edification.
That's a guarantee.
So I'd hit the Smokehouse, and then I would, you know, hire Rhett and... Ryan, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Ryan. I'm just meeting Ryan. We're getting acquainted here. So, you know, and I'm old. I mean, I'm like, I help God name dirt, you know. So he was looking. He was thinking, you know, he had all kinds of ideas. And I'm saying, no, dirt, go with your first idea. Yeah. Dirt is the good name. So, but how's it been for you out there, Ryan?
It's been real good. Getting with Rhett about 3 years ago and being on the team with Beyond Border Outfitters has been good. Every year has been climbing.
It takes a long time to make money as a charter boat captain.
It does.
I mean, it's a constant, that carrot's sitting right there,
yep.
And you get to touch the carrot every once in a while. Yep. Every once in a while you get to nibble a little bit off it, then that moves back, because every time you get set, the boats break, everything
That's
goes
right.
down, the insurance goes up, yep. something else happens.
Yep.
Tough business, but at least you're in good company.
Yes, I'm in with some of the best guides around, and it's definitely helped me out, and it's nothing but up.
Yeah, I mean, you're with Rhett. What more do you want?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's all good.
So,
but the fishing out here, what's your take on this weekend? What do you think? Good, bad, indifferent?
I'm going to go with you guys, the same thoughts.
You don't have to follow the curve. You can break off on your own. Take that left turn if you need to.
No, I totally agree. You don't have to get up out there early or anything like that. Just what I would do is just get out there in the afternoon time and catch the right tide, wait for that water to warm up, and those fish should start feeding.
All right, well, I'm going to put you guys on the spot. Rhett, I know you can answer this, so I'm going to let you go first, give Ryan here a minute, think about it. This weekend, let's say Saturday, you wanted to get out and go. It's going to be warm, nice. Where would you go, and if you're going to throw a lure, what would it be, and what would you expect to catch?
Well, what I would do to start things off, just to help get the skunk out of the boat, which is a very important thing to do first thing.
I got to get that. Man, no fish caught here yesterday.
That's right.
Yeah, I got to break it in, get the fish smell back.
Exactly. You know, places like the mouth of Alligator Creek, from the mouth of Alligator Creek all the way up to the first bend, are going to be a great place to go with a quarter ounce jig and, say, a root beer colored tail, or any other colored tail should work, but I know a root beer is pretty solid in there. Or maybe,
so what color lead head are you going to use? I'm going to pinpoint this, man. I'm going to get you specific.
I like red. Red goes well with root beer for me, but to be honest with you, I really don't think that the color of the jig head at the end of the day makes as much difference as the color of the body.
Yeah, but we're going to have guys going out there. They're going to listen to you, because, I mean, they should. You know what you're doing. Red jig head, root beer, paddle tail, or curl tail?
You're going to do a paddle tail at first, and then even something like the Little John that has no tail.
Isn't that amazing?
It's
Why does
anomaly.
That thing work?
It has everything. It's a little harder to work.
I've actually got one sitting on my desk here because it's one of my top 10 this week.
Absolutely
and
amazing.
I have no idea why. And actually, I'm not kidding you. I'm calling out my one of my top 10. I have got, well, it's kind of more of a motor oil red glitter, but a red jig head. And but basically brown and red.
Yes.
That's what I was calling for on top 10 this week.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, watermelon, red glitter, root beer typically has a gold glitter, but any one of those darker colors will be fine. Go to Alligator Creek. That's a great place to start in the morning, you know, late morning. And then once things start to warm up and your tide starts to rise, you can run on the outside of the reef all the way down to Pirate Harbor, come inside the channel and hit a few of those grass beds that are, you know, 100 yards to 200 yards due east of the ice house at Pirate Harbor. You're going to have good water there with grass beds on both sides. And depending on the direction of your wind, you want to get upwind of the flat you want to drift and pull through there. Same thing at Boquilla. The deep grass flats at Boquilla, you're going to want to fish 5 to 6 feet, maybe 4 feet as the water warms up. And then you've also got Jug Creek right there. If you're not picking up stuff on the grass flats, slip inside the mouth of the creek and bounce your jigs a little slower on the bottom. You'll pick up mangrove snapper, small reds, trout.
So you got three spots. Jug Creek, you're going to get more snapper, more stuff like that. Pirate Harbor area, that's more of a trout thing right now, I would assume.
Yes.
Alligator Creek, again, trout, possible pompano, but more just trout.
Mm-hmm.
And but Jug Creek, that's actually a really good idea. You can pick up a few more snappers. You know, I've been hearing a lot of little grouper over there.
Yep, grass grouper.
Yeah, little baby grouper. You know, no keepers, obviously. But they're fun to catch when they're that big.
Exactly.
Especially on those little jigs, because they really hit like a freight train.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, at the end of the day, if you're working your way back and that tide's up a little bit, you can get around those islands north of Pirate Harbor. There's a beautiful stretch of fishable islands all from the Pirate Harbor Channel all the way to Gator Creek, provided you've got enough water. And in the afternoon with the higher water, it's going to be warmed up. Those redfish will be around the trees. You're mostly going to see trout and redfish still. May not see a snook because it hasn't maybe not warmed up just enough, but I'm sure there'll be a few stragglers.
I don't think you're going to catch too many. Yeah. This time of year when a snook make you crazy because they just sit there and look at you like, mm-hmm. What? I'm not doing that.
Exactly.
If you want to play, wait. Come back when it's warm. I'll play then. I'm not playing right now. Well, anyway, that's some great advice from Rhett, and we've got that kind of stuff here in the store, no problem. But, okay, Ryan, you've had your chance to think. Now, where would you go? What lure would you use, and what would you expect to catch?
Number one, I'm not a humongous lure guy, but...
That's okay. We're putting you on the spot. We've got your hands nailed to the board here, buddy. Come on.
From listening to Rhett and seeing what you colored, I would go with the same exact color.
Hey, Rhett, are we going to let him get away with this?
I'd get some shrimp.
Okay.
I'd stop and get some shrimp here at Fish and Frank's. Or you could get some chum, get a few pinfish or something like that. And fish in the potholes. Number one, I would go is
okay. Where are you talking about potholes?
On low water, I would fish. If you couldn't get back into Woodens or Bull Bay or anything like that, I'd go into Turtle Bay and fish any of those big potholes. Either out on the front of that bar out there, there'll be on the backside of that bar. There's usually some good sized redfish this time of year. Either catch them on shrimp or a cut piece of pinfish or something like that, just sitting on the bottom.
So now when you come up. You got to get around. If you're coming in Port Charlotte, Punta Gorda, you got to go around Cape Hayes and swing it wide this time of year. Everybody's nailing the bar. Yep. A lot of boats sitting there aground because they're not cutting wide enough around Cape Hayes. And then you're coming up into Turtle Bay. Slow down outside because you are going to fish before you get into the bay. You don't need to be running the motor up there.
Plus, it's manatee zone.
Yeah, you want to slow down before you get in the manatee zone. One thing you don't want to do is when you're in there, don't worry about the boats going by. Don't get upset with them because the boat comes, the boat goes, and if you're lucky, they got their outboard running, and they're stirring up the bottom, stirring up the grass, getting all that stuff up where the fish can feed on it. If somebody idles by, throw right in their prop wash. That's the best way to catch fish there on those shallow flats.
Yeah.
It works like $1 million. But I think you're right on the money. I think that's a great spot because you got that real nice deep water. You got shallow on inside, got a little deeper on the outside. That mouth of Turtle Bay sounds actually really good.
Yeah, and you'll see, you usually see a big variety of fish right there too. From sheephead to
and if
trout.
You see a guy with a green hat and a gray hoodie, slide over a bit because he's the one that told you how to fish there. So when Ryan comes up, look for that gray hoodie. If he's there, slide over a bit, let him get in, catch some of his fish. Yep. Okay,
it's a big enough area to where it's a pretty wide area where everyone can fish around there. So catch fish too.
It's a lot of fun, but. Yep. When I was chartering all the time, I had a bunch of people. They would wave me in. I would wave them in.
Yep.
And life's better when it's more fun and everybody's sharing.
Yes.
So, anyway, what else is going on in the wide world? Any good forecast for this year? Anything coming up that's going to be cool?
Well, I think my forecast is a lot of what my brother and I talk about. He's big into watching seasons and patterns and, 10 years out, stuff like that. And the rainfall that we have seen in September of 2012, as well as the rainfall that we saw in 2013, which was definitely the first year since 2005 we hadn't had the kind of rainfall we experienced in 2013.
Right.
And the rainfall being higher makes the estuary flourish. So you've got a lot more bait around, a lot more things that draw the tarpon to our area. And this year we saw more redfish than we've seen in years past, which is an extremely encouraging thing for me. And we've seen more tarpon activity in the fall than we saw the previous fall. And I think that because of the extra rainfall and the extra flourish, the flourishing that's going on within the estuary, this coming tarpon season should start early. And regardless of whether it starts early or not, when it gets going, I think we're going to see one of the best tarpon seasons we've seen in the last 5 years.
A lot of tarpon fry came up, a lot of small schooly tarpon all getting ready to join the big boys. And you guys are absolutely right. What I did was, because this year was so weird, water never got over 85 degrees. It mm-hmm. was the perfect temperature all summer. We had great fishing. And it's excess rain and excess cloud cover doesn't allow the sun to cook the water up.
Yes.
And if we can keep, and the national weather pattern is the same. Last year we had all these weird cold things, and the storms are still coming out of the west, going to the east. They're not coming northwest to south. They're not going from the northwest to the southeast. They're going from the west to the east. And that's still holding true, and that's what we had all summer. And with the pattern not changing, I think you're absolutely right. If we can keep that excessive rain, mm-hmm. keep the water temperature down, so it's a little fresh, the fish don't mind.
That's right.
So I think you're 100% on the, I'm calling for a great season, but I think it's also going to be an early season. I think these thing off the, what do they call it, the polar vortex, where mm-hmm. they're throwing these big cold bubbles of air at us, and I think that's going to be over real quick, and this water's going to warm up. We were already catching tarpon a week and a half ago, catching tarpon on the beach in the pass.
Mm-hmm.
Standing on shore, catching tarpon. So
yep.
I think you're 100%. This is going to be an early, long season, because if it's like last year, they're going to come in April, and they're going to stay all the, maybe even February. February, April, they're going to show up, and they're going to stay till what, September, October?
Absolutely.
So I think you guys are going to have a long, long time without a lot of time off. I think you're going to be planning your vacations, because I think people, I think they're going to be coming here for this, because it's not a past thing. It's an everywhere thing.
Exactly.
So, you know, anyway, so I guess that's about it. Any last thoughts, Ryan?
You guys nailed it already.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a great host. You know, we just talk. We cover everything, and we're all done. There's nothing left to talk about.
Amen.
Yeah, you guys covered everything. It sounds good.
I wish I didn't suck. So anything, any last things, Rhett?
Yeah, you know, Brian is here today with us because I brought him over from the other side of the bridge. And, you know, there's always a weird little thing about how, you know, across the bridge? Why'd you come across the bridge?
It's you need a visa. I mean, exactly. If they don't sign your passport, it's hard to get from Port Charlotte to Punta Gorda. Yeah.
Yes, and I brought him over here today because I wanted to make sure that we got him hooked up with a camp like Fish and Frank's, because not only are all the guys in here extremely knowledgeable, but they stand behind their product 110%, which is not what I could say for quite a few of the other tackle shops in the area. And that right there is worth its weight in gold.
I appreciate the ad, but anyway, thank you very much, Rhett. It's definitely appreciated, and I definitely appreciate your friendship as well.
Same here, my friend.
So, but anyway, our producer's waving at me, getting crazy because I'm not playing the music. I'm not getting everything done. I'm a lousy host. What can I say? But I will get better. I promise I will get better. Anyway, Captain Rhett Morris, Captain Ryan, thank you guys for joining me here on the show.
I want to say thank you too, Frank, for everything and getting me in the store and getting good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got a nice little crowd out here. They're just nice and calm and letting everything go. We'll catch you guys on the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.